Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 499. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Steak with mushrooms and cream sauce is delicious. Just saying that right now.
They're not special
Eat
mushrooms.
It.
No, they're just normal mushrooms.
But still gross.
Jeff is here.
Yeah, still here.
And Earl as well.
Yes!
It's been a week.
It has been a really long week. Somehow, these 7 days have just crawled by like a never-ending torture.
Yeah.
About sums it up.
So, we recorded last week, in an attempt to stay sane, I have not been following the news, check in on Twitter with our feed, but not really outside of that. So I had heard some news, but when I woke up Friday morning, the shit had blown up. And it only got worse, from there. It's been a week.
It has been a week.
I mean, you could say that for every week
this year. Yeah,
but it's been particularly like, I think his name is Kumail Bell. I was watching like CNN. He's like, you know, we're living in the part of history that like people are going to read about, like, or study like years from now. Like, we're living in the part of history that's history. You know what I mean? Like, fucking insane, dude. So
yeah, the problem is we're living in the part of history that is history. Like this is going to be like chapters like 10 through 16 in the book, and each one is just going to cover like a month of the year. I don't even know what June's going to offer. I just remember saying at the end of like June 1st, Monday, like this is the longest month ever, and that was the first day. Like, I will be fair, I do think it's calmed down a bit this so far. Let's not like, beat around the bush and be vague. We've talked about the pandemic before. You think, okay, global pandemic, big enough story that's been going on for 3 months, officially for me tomorrow. You think that's, and then it's like, no, we're gonna have cops kill some unarmed black dude. That creates this huge. I mean, it's something that's been simmering. It's something that has balled up before, but never to this level or this intensity.
Yeah.
And we have a leader who has no intentions of eating. He has no desire to calm fears or to say he's wrong. So part of me, I still have a few Republican or Trump supporting friends around. And I was just, you know, like, I wanted to comment, like, you know, say what you will about the guy. I think this year, beyond any other of his presidency, has just shown that he had no intentions of being it. He's not yet on the pandemic at all. He actually gave some really terrible press conferences. When he realized that wasn't giving him false praise, he stopped that. And there's really no real guidance on that in about a month.
What has he done? Sorry.
From the federal government. It's pretty much state by state, which is why you have issues where some states are open, some states aren't. There's no real benchmark for anything.
He's not interested in doing the job. Like, we need some sort of leadership right now, right? Like, yeah. And what has he done since this all has happened? He fucking tear gassed protesters and walked across the street and held up a Bible
upside down.
Yeah,
upside right down.
And backwards.
Yeah. And,
like,
and
has he even addressed the nation? Fucking Obama addressed the nation. Like, Obama had to come fill the void because no one was doing it, dude.
Yeah, he addressed the nation. That was his address in the nation. And I don't even remember. I honestly don't pay attention to what he says. But yeah, it's like his big takeaway, his big thing is like, You should be gassing and abusing the citizens more.
Yeah. And I'm well, like, he said yeah, that on a phone call to governors. Like,
yeah.
you know, he could easily go on primetime TV. I honestly, at this point, like, there's nothing he could do or say. Like, I'm not going to sit there and watch him on primetime TV and feel better, like, because he gives some, you know, prepared speech that his heart isn't in. And there's nothing, like, I would never give this guy the benefit of the doubt at all anymore. You know what I mean?
No, but, like, and I get that.
Just highlights, though, that he's not interested in doing this job. Sorry.
No, I
was going to get right away.
No, and that's fair because, like, okay, like his thing has always been his ego, and that's the only thing that drives him. So the photo op wasn't even to, like, assure people, like, it's safe or anything like that. It was to assure he was mad because people were complaining or bitching at him for hiding in a bunker Friday night because there were protesters outside the White House, and he wants to prove that, I don't know, he's a tough guy to walk across the street. I don't get that. Like, I don't think anybody denies that the president can leave the building. It's just that you aren't leaving the building for anything worth a damn. And then you do it in such a way that offends everybody except for your hardcore base, because you do, you know, you end up, you know, like, attacking your citizens. Like, he essentially declared war on his own citizens. And the sad thing is, I will give him grief for it, but a lot of governors seem really gung-ho to follow him. Like, ours is, like, I don't know how it became that the people protesting are the enemies.
Yeah.
And I don't get how, I don't get how the people protesting are the enemies. But I also don't get how you can protest police brutality and then have the police be the ones to kind of referee the protest. That's like putting a kid in front in charge of dessert and being surprised when they eat it.
Yeah, they've done everything to prove everyone right about them. Like,
yeah, they've gone beyond and above proving people right about them. Like, I mean, there has been, like, there's been those, like, feel good videos they try to put out where, like, the police officers nail or, like, you know, join along with people, and then it's like, yeah, they nailed us, and then they beat us up like 10 minutes later. So it's like they can't even do, like, fake PR right.
Like,
there was the thing in, I think it was Portland. They had the photo op with the, you know, the chief out there kneeling with the protesters, and 3 minutes before that, the Portland PD had put out that the assembly was unlawful. They should disperse. Their messaging isn't even in. Internally together. They can't even do PR right.
Night or day.
Right.
Like, in the day, we're your buddies, and at night, it's like fucking Castlevania 2. Like, all of a sudden, nighttime comes, and every fucking...
It's a horrible night to have a curse.
Yeah. I will say this, and I hate to give police any sort of credit at all, but, like, of course, we're gonna see on Twitter and the news, like, the most violent, crazy shit that's going on, right? And, like, I went to a march on Monday or Tuesday, I don't know, and all the police there, you know, and I left before it ended or whatever, but, like, all the police there were, like, being super nice to everybody. So,
yes,
and
you know, the defense is always there are good cops, and I'm sure there's more good cops than bad cops. The problem is a lot of bad cops cost people their lives, so it's very hard to kind of think, oh, yeah, they're nice to us and they're kind, and then you see them come out in force. One, I don't know why the police took, like, why the police, I understand the concept behind how they get it, but it's so weird to see that the police is literally a military force in the cities. Like, they have tanks, they have body armor, they have riot shields, they have, you know, they have loaded weapons. I think I read, I don't know if this happened or not, we have sonic cannons.
That sounds about right.
And it's like, yes, I get it. They buy all the military grade stuff because the military gets this huge budget, because that's what all presidents do, like, give the military more money. The military researches and buys stuff, and then it's like, we don't need it, but we bought it anyhow. So they sell it to the cops, who have an excessive budget as well. And it's a full circle where it's like, okay, you don't need all of this to, like, I don't know. Like, everything that they do, even if they're peaceful or nice, seems like it's ready for an escalation that doesn't come until they show up. because like the same way you say that you went to a protest that was nice and the cops did, most of the protests have been peaceful, and it seems like a lot of the breaking point comes when the cops start bullying people, or we're in this 1984 scenario where most cities, I think a lot of cities have given them up today, have curfew. So like there were curfews in Los Angeles for 6 p.m. I was at 8 p.m. I think D.C. was 9.
It's changed a bunch of times, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right, is that they keep changing. So like I think you said like D.C. was 9, but the other day it was 7. Philly has had 6, 7, 8 o'clock. Like, and the news isn't getting out there, especially the people that are out protesting. They're changing it on them.
Yeah.
Or they'll give them like a half hour of warning, and it's just like, okay. And it, even still, like, I'm sure there's protests where they're like, no, we're not leaving, we're staying. Does that mean you gotta go in and fucking start cracking heads? Like,
yeah.
It goes to prove that these fucking police departments are like filled with fucking meatheads. I'm sorry. Like,
oh, it is.
And think about the fucking PR angle for a fucking second, dude. You have protesters saying police are fucking brutal, and you're brutalizing them on fucking TV. Like, you're proving their point over and over. Like,
I think what's sad about it is that for a good portion of the country, they're not even looking at like, oh, that's great, there was peaceful protest, and oh yeah, and the police were out there, they were supporting them, and these thugs, these people burning and looting, we have to stop this. Like,
yeah,
nobody wants the violence, but also like you are taking the wrong thing from what is going on. Like,
yeah,
if that's all you're worried about is that, you know, they broke into a CVS or you know, there were people complaining that they broke into like the Foot Locker on Chestnut Street here in Philadelphia. And it's like, that's your takeaway, not the police bottling up protesters, you know, funneling them onto the highway and then blocking them against a fence and shooting tear gas at them. Like that's the takeaway, is they, you know, somebody broke a window at Foot Locker.
Yeah. Yes, and the funny thing is, because we go through this with sports all the time. Whenever your local team wins a championship, most people do this to the city, and you never have the pearl clutching that people have around that. It's like, because yes, especially in Philadelphia for some odd reason, you win a championship and that city, and you just kind of accept it. It's any reason not to talk about the issue that's at the heart of this. And it's like, oh, you know, like, this isn't the right way to go about it. What is the right way to go about it? Because for several years, we heard, especially from the president, that you if you kneel during the anthem, you're disrespecting the flag, and that's not a proper way to protest.
We heard it again this week from Drew Brees.
Yes.
Yeah. That was super disappointing.
But
he's always been like that, though.
Urlacher.
Yeah.
Urlacher was very disappointing for me. Like, I guess I wasn't super surprised to find out Urlacher was a fucking idiot like that, but he was a great player on the Bears. And anyways, where were we going with this?
I don't know.
I was gonna say, like, you have that. Then you have people who like win awards or whatever, and they use their platform to talk about the issues, and then they get told the same thing, like, oh, you know, stick to acting, stick to sports.
Yeah.
So it's like, no matter how you protest, no matter how you try to get your message across, people complain, and then they're like, no, this isn't how you do it. And that's all they want to say, is like, this isn't how you do it. They never want to say, like, what are your issues? How can we talk about it? Or if they talk about it, they do that stupid thing where they deflect it, where it's like, oh, you know, like, we have to talk about black-on-black crime, or we need to talk about... Yeah. You know, like, it's not a black issue. The cops pull over people all the time. And it's like, yes, nobody's saying that stuff doesn't... Well, one, I think black-on-black crime is a stupid nonsense stat, because nobody ever talks about white-on-white crime or anything like that. Like, people of similar groups are going to end up doing crimes around similar groups.
How do you protest that? Like, it's not the state doing it to the population. It's just, okay, there's crime. Everyone's against it, obviously. Duh. Like, fucking no shit.
Yeah.
But the difference is the people in power are fucking killing us. Then that's why you're getting protests. Like, it's just such a stupid fucking argument, dude. Like,
oh, it's all to say, you know, this is important, but what about this? And it's like, yeah, it's the same thing whenever people say Black Lives Matter and they respond, all lives matter. It's like, nobody's saying that doesn't happen. But
not to interrupt here, but that came up this week at my dinner table. My 14-year-old like was like, hey, like, yeah, we've been talking about it, following what's kind of going on the news, but you know, kids follow people on Instagram. They have their own Twitter accounts. They have their own social media accounts. And my son did bring that. He's like, why is saying all lives matter bad? And I was like, oh God. But you can't just deflect away from that. Like, you need to address it. And
I'm curious to hear what you said first.
So I was sad. Like, well, the reason is like, because it's a deflection away from the actual point of conversation, which is that, you know, there are systematic things that are causing what is happening to Black people in their community and in the world and in our, you know, in the United States and here in Philadelphia, where it's I'm trying to think of exact words I used, but basically it was like, you know, it deflects away from that message that Black people's lives matter and basically pushes them to the side. It's like, it's not only Black Lives Matter, which is how some people are reading it.
Yes.
It's, yeah, all lives matter, but Black Lives Matter too. Like, it's, your people are reading that Black Lives Matter wrong. And so saying all lives matter is just dismissing that.
It's dismissing it, or it's muddying the issue. It's like, because this is the reverse discrimination thing that people like to bring up or stuff like that. It's like, Oh, you know, like, if you're just hiring a Black folk, what about the white? Like, nobody's saying that they're not included. It's just saying that, I think it's odd, like Randy Orton, I think, put it best. It's like, until Black Lives Matter, then all lives don't matter.
Another way I saw it was, if all lives mattered, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Like,
yeah,
you know.
But the way I put it was more so, if all lives mattered was an actual thing that you believed in, why was nobody saying that for the past 2 months when everybody's like, it's to reopen up the economy?
Yep.
People are going to die, but we need to reopen the economy. Because that's when you shout all lives matter.
It's a slogan. Like, you know, it's one thing for your kid, like, you know, they're young, they don't know, they're learning about the world, right?
Yeah, and the concept, point, like, though, like the concept, right, makes sense, right? Like, as Earl said, it's not that all lives don't matter, it's they do. It's so from like a 14-year-old or a 12-year-old brain, like coming to like, yeah, to them that makes sense. But then to hear like why, so like people saying it's bad, like, and then they're confused by it. Like, you have to explain that, like, this is why you don't retort that at somebody saying Black Lives Matter, because you're dismissing what they're saying completely.
The simplest example I've seen people give that I think a lot of people, I hope, get is like, if you call the fire department because somebody's house is on fire, and they come over and you say, you know, that's the house, like, and then you say, oh, house matter, like, the only house that needs the water is the one on fire.
Right.
Like, if you were to water all the other houses, that's just a waste of water.
Yeah. It's just, I think any adult that is still saying all lives matter, it's a fucking slogan. Like, if you do not get it yet, like, you're willfully, you don't want to get it. And it's fucking bullshit when you say all lives matter. It's fucking bullshit.
I mean, even aside from getting it or not getting it, if you realize the only time it pops up is when something like Black Lives Matter happens, then you realize that it's not an actual thing people are into. Because it does not, like, we haven't heard about it recently. Like I said, the COVID is a big example of that. Like, where was that mantra when you were saying that, like, oh, you know, it's only been like 2% of the population. We can reopen the cities. We can travel. I want to go outside again. Like, that's when you should be shouting All Lives Matter. That's not reopen the government. Blue Lives Matter is another stupid one because, again, people aren't blue. If you want to protect the Smurfs and Navi from Avatar, go for it. They're fictional characters. That would be a dumb cause, but, you know. So, again, it's one of these things. And, again, the concept of Blue Lives Matter is, I mean, aside from it being dumb, it doesn't make sense in the concept of what people are talking about, is that in the grand scheme of things, I don't think there have been cops that have been executed, but not at the same rate as unarmed black people. And again, like, people bring up, like, you know, white people. Like, again, everybody die. Like, people die. That should be a reason for reform in general. We're hired in the fact that, like, somehow some dude could put his knee on the back of a black dude's neck for almost 10 minutes. And that is, and be observed by three other cops. And we're considering that fine. Like, yeah, that's standard policing. And then the bullshit that comes out afterwards, where it's like, oh, he wasn't a saint, or I think this week they tried to say he had COVID, and it's like, okay, he had COVID in March. It is the end of May.
But also, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, none of it. I don't care about any of it. I don't care. I don't care if he is a fucking criminal mastermind. I don't give a shit, dude. I don't. It's not an excuse.
Yes, especially, and then this is the thing. I mean, grand scheme, like, what needs to reform and everything. It's like, I don't get how you, I mean, I guess you're trained as a police officer. You're supposed to be trained in ways to restrain people or de-escalate situations without using, you know, like, methods. You do methods, essentially. And then you always hear these excuses, like, I was afraid for my eye. You know, he was struggling. He was resisted arrest. And it's like, That does not. I don't see how that gives you an excuse to have your knee on the back of his neck for 9 minutes, as he's saying, like,
he's handcuffed.
Yeah,
and there's video from before that where, like, he's letting them lead him to their vehicle or whatever. Like, so how the fuck did he end up on the ground with a fucking knee in his neck for 10 minutes? Like, I.
And here's the thing, and I will get to another part in a second. But the thing is, to draw the dots for people, is that this event happened last week. That same Monday, or Tuesday, really, we got the story. That Monday, though, we had that story of the guy who had the police called on him because he had the nerves to tell a white woman in Central Park that her dog needed to be on a leash. And the fact that she knew to call the police, she called him, and she specifically said, it's an African-American man who's threatening me, because, like, she knew exactly what she was calling them for. And the fact that she knew that is something that people understand on a basic level and don't want to acknowledge.
Yeah, and she, you know, that she's the type of person who would probably say All Lives Matter, but yet she knows in the back of her fucking head, when push came to shove, she knew that she can fucking, like, use that as a threat against a black man. Like,
for the simple act of having the nerve to tell her the rules of the park. He wasn't, like, and again, this is what happened. Like, it's a good thing we have a video, because it would have been his word versus her word. And it would have been, like, just, I mean, like, I've seen him. He's not a scary dude, but he's a black dude. He's, you know, he's tall. It's going to be this thuggish black dude, an innocent white woman, her dog in the park. She was afraid for her life. And if there wasn't video, that would have been the story.
I told you guys about what happened when I did go to the march the other day, about, like, the guy that came out of his house. This, like, old fucking, like, I'd say 70-something-year-old white guy, like, big fat white guy, that came out of his house screaming at us, All Lives Matter. Which, by the way, like, every other... So many people along the way were coming out of their houses and, like, clapping at us and shit. Like, totally positive shit. And then this one guy comes out and he's like, All Lives Matter. And we tell him to shut the fuck up and go inside or whatever. And then he, like, flashes an AR-15 at us. Like, he pulls it out from, like, in his other hand behind the door. He had an AR-15 in his hand. He, like, flashed it at us. Think of the absurdity of saying All Lives Matter as you threaten someone with a fucking AR-15.
So that happened to you, just like, but I'm sure that you guys have seen the video of the guy who, you know, pulled up in his car with the protesters with a fucking bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yelling all lives matter. Like,
yeah. And then he got then he got that shit.
Did he say all? Did he say all lives matter to them?
He did.
He did.
Like, think of how absurd that is. Like, what do you mean all lives matter? You're pointing a fucking weapon.
Yeah, if all lives matter, why are you firing an arrow into a crowd?
Am I not alive? Like, what the fuck?
It's and he did get what was coming to him, but Jesus, like, what goes through your head to think that?
And you. What I kept thinking is, like, I kept moving because I did think, like, maybe this guy really is nuts and he'll shoot us. Like, so I just kept walking.
You never know, right?
Well, first thing I did as I screamed, that guy's got a gun. And then, like, I thought about it the whole next day. I'm like, I could have got someone in the march shot by doing that.
Right.
Like I didn't think of it at the time because I was so freaked out.
That's unfortunately the reality of it, right? Like, you yell that out trying to point out the guy who has a fucking gun.
Agitated against us, you know,
and they're on edge. They're looking for somebody in the crowd, and it circles back to what 3 weeks ago, where people were, you know, storming the Michigan State Capitol and Pennsylvania State Capitol with guns, but no pushback from the you know, the riot police then, or the security detail police, because they didn't have riot police out for it.
Or again, to go to our idiot eater, where it's like, oh. No, these are fine people. They have a grief. They should be heard. To call them protesters, thugs, and looters, and all this other stuff. So
and terrorists, like basically calling them terrorists at this point. That they're domestic terrorists.
Yeah,
because they're out protesting for social change, not to get a fucking haircut.
Yeah. And it's and you reminded me with the gun comment, because yeah, he did give a speech on, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and one of the things he was talking about, like, is we are going to protect Second Amendment rights. So again, he's doing that dog whistle where he's trying to rile up his base to be like, you know, if this doesn't stop, we're going to take matters into our own hands, and it's going to get people killed. It's going to get people killed on both sides. It's going to get some, like we saw with the bow and arrow dude. There is a greater number of people protesting. I mean, guns can do a crap ton of damage, but you are going to have people who get beat out of them. So he's endangering everybody. And yeah. Again, he has no game plan for this. He has no message for anybody. Like, at this point, he's not even catering to his base. He's just spouting nonsense to seem like a tough guy. And he's a tough guy that you see in movies who, the minute something happens, they run away. And then at the end of the fight, they show up again, and like, oh, how did it go?
The finish of what I was saying, though, like, so after that happened or whatever, I kept moving, and, you know, so I don't know if the police, like, arrested him. I feel like he should have been arrested. That's, like, a threat, right? Like, maybe he, on a technicality, he could say, oh, like, I was in my house the whole time, so I'm allowed to have a gun, right?
Is Illinois an open carry state?
No.
Okay.
But I just think that in that situation, you're using the gun to threaten people who mean no harm, and so like he should be arrested for it. Anyways, I saw the cops stop, and I think they went to go talk to him, but they probably just told him, "Hey, man, go inside," or whatever. But I was thinking, like, dude, what if someone in our march flashed a gun at him? Do you think they wouldn't get fucking thrown in their fucking ground and their teeth kicked in? But this guy, you know, I mean, this fucking white privilege is right there. Like,
totally would have. They would have come in and attacked the protesters.
Could have got shot.
Like, there's so many examples of it, but there's like the video of the, you know, rather peaceful protesters. Sure, they're yelling at the cops, whatever, like, kind of what they're out there doing. And I don't even know if he even stepped off the curb, but the police just came and took him out of the out of the crowd and arrested him. Like, yeah, if somebody had pointed a gun at that guy, things would have gone crazy.
Yeah, but since he's a frustrated old white guy in his house, like, he just gets the old, like, I'm sure. Like, I didn't read anything about him getting arrested. I feel like you would have heard about that, like, in the news here or something. Like,
I assume if he got arrested, you know, he would have been on. He would have been in the White House. He would have been in the White House like the next day.
Yeah,
like, he'd have been headlining Fox.
Yeah, talking about how what a brave patriot he was and how he stood up to such hooligans. Yeah. But kind of continuing the conversation, but slightly different. The one thing I will say that I feel positive about so far is I do think that I don't know what it is about this time. I feel like people are actually listening this time around. I've had pretty frank and open discussions at work, or I mean, as much as I can at work via Zoom. We were given an avenue to, you know, kind of express our thoughts and our feelings. And, you know, part of me was happy for that. Part of me was also kind of disappointed because you realize how little people, like when people are like, oh, I didn't know you went through that. And I'm just like,
how have you not, that, like,
yeah.
heard of this yet? Like,
I get it. But, like, I work, you know, I work events and stuff like that. And I told them, like, sometimes I fear whenever we go to a new building for an event, like a residential building that's really nice and really fancy, that I'm going to be harassed for just being black and being in a building and being in a place that I don't belong, according to them. And, like, expanding, like, it's a real fear, but it's something I have to live with because I have to do my job and stuff like that. Or even the fact that, like, we put on acts at work. You talk a different way. You don't talk up sometimes because you don't want to get that reputation. As like, there's a team of 12. There's only two black people on the team. It's me and another woman who's, you know, and she's been there for 15 years. She was talking about, like, how sometimes she feels disrespectful. You know, her opinions aren't always solicited when things come up. She talked about, like, you know, like, I don't want to talk up and then get the reputation as being, like, the angry black woman. You know, I don't want to be a rebel rouser. I don't want it. You don't want that reputation because that reputation sticks with you. It's like, oh, you know, she's hard to work with. He's a pain in the ass. He you know, like, we get lazy. We get unmotivated. All of these adjectives to describe when we don't, like, you know. When it's one of the reasons I say yes to everything they ask me to do at work is because I don't want that reputation of, like, oh, he's lazy, you know.
Like, you're worried of being, like falling into a stereotype or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't explain, like, code switching and stuff like that, but, you know, there are ways that you speak around white folks that you know may not speak to around your friends and family because you have, I don't really speak about, but, like, there are some languages that I know I'm not going to use in mixed company where it's like, if it's me and my siblings or me and some of my friends, like, we're going to talk about this stuff. Like, I'm not going to drop, like, white people references at work. And stuff like that. You know, she talks again. She talks about, like, how she can sometimes be in the park. Like, I don't drive, so I don't. But she can be in the parking lot sometimes with people, and, like, they will say hi to the person next to her, but not her. And then there's some stuff, you know. Like, even then, I still didn't feel comfortable bringing up because there are times when it feels like your opinions are ignored because of who you are, and that could just be that, you know, you're low on the totem pole. Or that this person's been here longer, but it does feel like you get crossed over. And one of the things I always feel, and this is really, it could be me, it could not be me, is especially in predominantly white parts, white circles, is that I feel like I get remembered because I'm, like, the only black dude in there. So I'm like, I know the boss only knows me because I'm, like, the only black dude who works the events we go to. It's very easy to remember the one dude at the entire event who looks different. I sometimes feel that, like, one of my best friends is married. Like, he married a white woman, and I've known him since junior high school. I've known his wife. They started dating in college. I've known her since then. And I get it. Like, I'm close with her family, but sometimes I think her family just remembers because we're the only two black people they know. And it's stuff like that that's always in the back of your head. It's like, are you important to them? Or are you just kind of like that one person they know? And they just have to remember it because you're kind of their shield. And I have kind of felt that way sometimes with talking to people this week. It's like, I've kind of I've been going through that. I imagine most people have. But, like, I feel like a lot of people are just like, okay, he's like the one black dude I know. I have to just check in on him, see how it's going. I've had friends ask, like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to talk about this? And I'm like, I honestly can't tell you. I can tell you what I feel is iffy, but I can't tell you what is right or wrong, because I can only speak for one Black person that I know of, and that's me.
Wait, Earl, you don't speak for all Black people?
It is a surprise, but yes, I do not speak for all Black people. We do not. We have not assigned a delegate for this year. It's been a very long year. We'll probably have the meeting in August.
Are you allowed to have that meeting in August? I'm just wondering with the whole COVID thing. Does it need to be postponed?
We'll see. I mean, we have means of communicating, but yes. And I say this with the utmost love and respect for a lot of my friends. If one more goddamn person asks me how I'm doing, I mean, again, it's coming from a place of great intention, and I appreciate it, but I am not doing okay. I do not need to tell everybody that every 5 minutes. Nobody's doing okay right now. And that's, I mean, this issue, but COVID as well. But I've gotten a lot of people like, how are you doing? I just want to make sure you're holding up. I'm like, you know, I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. Like, I want to go to those protests, but I'm also like, I don't trust NYPD. Nobody does. And I've just gotten to the point where I either kind of out and right ignore people, or I just kind of change the subject. Like, for me, what I want to do is just talk to people like normal. And if something like this comes up, I will have that discussion. Like, again, I get it and I appreciate it. My boss has called me 2 times this week to check in on me and see how I'm doing. And I'm just like, I appreciate it, but I don't want to have this conversation with you. because it's an uncomfortable conversation, but it's also like, I don't necessarily need to reiterate my entire life story. Like, I've told people, like, the example I use and the example I tend to, it's always an easy example, I think. It's like, I ask people, like, what do you do when you go to a store? You can answer.
What do we do when we go to a store?
Yeah.
Go shopping. But that's it. Like, that's, we just go to the store.
Yeah. So, like, I tell people, when I go into a store, before I even get into the store, I take stock of everything I have on me. Does the store sell anything like this? If so, I'm either going to make sure I'm seen with it going into the store on camera, or I put it in a backpack so nobody can mistake that I got it from the store. I tell people that I don't touch anything I don't intend to buy. I want to make sure that if somebody accuses me of something, they can check the video. My hands are nowhere near it. I didn't pickpocket anything. Before I exit the store, I check all of my pockets, my jacket, my back pocket, my front pockets, to make sure that nothing got into them. I make sure if anything goes off, I'm right by the door holding it up with my receipt. I make sure I have my receipt. Like, if they say the thing's not printing off, I want them to tell the security guards that the thing wasn't printing off a receipt, so that they know that I legitimately bought this stuff. Like, all of this goes, and it's funny, I tell people, like, that's a lot of process, and then there's other stuff in there as well. Like, there are stores I just won't go to because I think, like, okay, this isn't, like, there are places I just can't window shop. I'm not going to go to a jewelry store or anything like that. Macy's has a reputation. I don't shop at Macy's either, because Macy's has a problem with harassing Black folks. But I tell people, like, there's a lot of processes that goes through our heads, even in basic day-to-day stuff, like going to the store, because it's like, you think of every way that you can somehow be accused of doing something, and you try as much as possible to preempt that.
Yeah, I saw, there was a video I saw, like, earlier on Twitter today, kind of about exactly that. Like, this guy, I think he's like a teenager, like going through a list of things that his mom told him that he has to do, like if he's going into a store or something like that. And, you know, like, this is not like a foreign concept to me. Like, I'm not a complete fucking idiot. But that's the thing, is like, to me, it's just a concept. Like, I never really have to think about that shit. I don't. A lot of times, you know, I'm asked if I want a receipt, I say,
yeah. Right. Like, how many times, I've been in the store, do you need a receipt? Nah, I'm good. Like, do you need a bag? Yeah. No, like,
if I buy a pack of cigarettes, I'm not returning them, so I don't need a receipt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but this kid on this video was like, if I'm buying a pack of gum, I want the receipt for that gum.
Yeah, because you don't want them to, you don't want, like, you could pay them and then somebody else comes out, did you buy that? And you want to make, like, yeah, I have it. I will print off a CVS receipt for a pack of gum just to prove that, yes, I did buy that gum. And it's that stuff. And I don't even know if my mom told me. It's just stuff you picked up over time because you realized, like, you know, I mean, the popular one, I think, is in TV all the time. Or is that the one where, like, you go to a store and, like, the black person is being followed around. That's pretty easy to...
customer service?
Yeah.
That can I help you find anything? What are you looking for?
Yeah. And if you say, no, I'm just browsing, they will continue to follow you. And they are never subtle about it because nobody, like, they're not James Bond. They don't have a degree in stealth. So it's stuff like that. It's, you know, like I said, it's like my coworker mentioned, like her son, every time he goes, like we actually had an example of this recently where those three black dudes were working out at the gym at the building where their office is at. And that one dude's like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be here. And to me, and I've explained this to people countless times, this has been on my mind for years and years. I have never gotten the concept of actually belonging somewhere because I cannot tell any one of you three, if I saw your face, do you belong here? Like, there's no place white people don't belong. Like, maybe an all-black church would be weird, but none of us are going to be like, do you belong here?
I once refereed a basketball tournament at an all-black fraternity. I was the only white guy there. I was like,
But never once did they question you being there, did they?
No, they did not. Nope.
I've been in this situation one time in my life, and that was when I was 16 years old. We drove to the west side of Chicago for some reason to buy pot. I don't know why we couldn't find pot. And we got, like, pulled over because we were white.
And
like they were like, we were at a red light. We were at a red light and the cops pulled up right in front of my fucking car. They came over and like, what the fuck are you doing over here? And I was like outraged about it. I was like, how fucking dare you ask me what the fuck I'm doing over here? They didn't give a shit. Like, these motherfuckers tossed my car. They fucking, like, every ashtray in my car, they fucking dumped all over the fucking seats and this and that. And since I was being such a shithead, they fucking, like, cuffed me real fucking tight and threw me in the back of the car. But after they found the weed that we had just bought, they said, get the fuck... They took the cuffs off me and they said, get the fuck out of here and don't ever fucking
didn't arrest you, didn't bring you down, didn't process you.
No. They drove down to the fucking corner and threw the fucking weed back at the guys at the corner, dude. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was like... nothing I had ever seen in my life, this whole experience. I was just like, what the fuck, you know? And, but then, like, you know, obviously what they did was wrong to us, too, but I was just like, I am getting the fuck out of here, you know what I mean? Like, that's fucking insane. But that was, like, I had never experienced anything like that before since, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure that's, like, an everyday experience for a lot of people.
I always tell people my experiences. You know? I don't drive. I don't have a license. And somehow I've been pulled over by the cops. Back in college, you know, I went to a predominantly white college. A lot of my friends are white. A lot of my friends from college are white. Let's put it that way. I think that's a better phrasing. So the first year I was there, my roommate, you know, my home, New York City was about 7 hours away. And I'm like, I'm not going to go home for Easter, and it's because it's not even a long weekend, it was just a weekend. So my friend invited me to his house to spend the weekend with his family for Easter. So we drove up to Buffalo, New York. And you know, like whenever you have friends around, you want to show them around your town and whatever. So my friend, you know, we drove around his town and whatever. And it was like Friday night or something like that. And the cops, you know, signaled him and they pulled him over and they were like, are you okay? Is everything all right? Are you safe? And I'm just, cause I was sitting in the passenger side and he got pulled over to make sure that I wasn't like mugging him or forcing him to go somewhere. And I always remember that. Cause again, I don't drive. I don't have a license. So it's like one of those things where it's like, it's a very white part of New York. I mean, most of us in New York is. But I just remember that because, again, don't drive. I was in the passenger side, but they wanted to make sure that he was okay.
Wow. That's absurd.
Yeah, I've told this to people, like, this is why, you know, like, this is why we make jokes about everything. It's because you realize, like, you're not dealt a bad hand, but you're dealt three cards in poker. And you just make the best of it. You do what you have to do. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like Jeff mentioned, that post, there's a lot of talks that you get from your family or your friends. You know, there's certain attitudes you just understand with, like, dealing with the cops and dealing, you know, like, you don't, like with me and my friends, we try not to walk around the streets in big groups. Like, at most, maybe two or three of us. So, like, if we're in a big group, you just kind of center off. Because, I mean, to be fair, I think most people are afraid of massive groups. But I think big groups of Black folks, it's just extra scary for a lot of people. Especially being that, like, my friends are, like, I'm 6'2". One of my best friends is 6'5". You know, 6'1". So we're not tiny people by any stretch of the imagination.
They're all big.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
Oh, I thought you said you were 6'5". 6'2 is pretty tall, too. Jesus.
No, one of my friends is 6'2". 6'5". My little brother, my younger brother, is 6'5", 6'6". And stuff like that. And, yeah, it's, you know, you're always worried about everybody. Because, like, you know, like, again, you look at the Central Park dude. You could be the most innocent. Like, I mean, I'm on a video game podcast. Like, you could be completely nerdy as hell, innocent, and that does not make any issue, because the first thing people see is that you're Black, and that is that.
These are things that, like, people who say, like, all lives matter never think about, or don't care, or both. You know, it's like,
or they don't want to think about.
Yeah.
I think that's more it than anything. They don't want to be bothered to think about it because it questions their reality.
Like Jimmy Kimmel had a thing about white privilege this week, and he was honest. He said, like, when he first heard it, he kind of dismissed that because he's like, you know, I didn't grow up rich or anything like that. I didn't have white privilege. And then he explained, it's like, white privilege doesn't mean that you're a Donald Trump of the world. You aren't born into wealth. It just means that at the end of the day, you have one advantage, or you don't have a disadvantage in life as far as, like, people judging you based off your skin color or your gender or anything like that.
You know, you don't have to worry about being in too large of a group, like you just said. Like, it's,
yeah, you don't have to worry about,
that's what it is. It's a million little things that, like,
you don't have to worry about getting a job because your name sounds too ethnic. You don't have to worry about how you wear your hair. If you can wear your hair, how it grows, or if you have to put a ton of product into it. You don't have to worry about, like, you know, ever having complaints about how you dress or your attitude. And it's not like, again, it's not like these things don't happen. It's not like, you know, white people wear dreads and stuff like that. That's a whole different story. But it's never, like, you get to choose that, and nobody's going to give you crap. Like, we'll make fun of you behind your back. But nobody's got, like, you're not going to use your job over, you know, wearing your hair naturally. You're not going to get suspended because you know, like, you wear shorts to school or something like that, and all this other nonsense. Well, there was the one dude who got expelled for having dreads in Texas.
Was he expelled, or was that the wrestler in Texas that?
Oh, I remember that story. Jesus Christ. He cut his hair off or some shit.
Yeah. But there was that, but there's also one where I think he couldn't walk in graduation because
Yes.
And it's all of those little stories.
Like, what the fuck is that? Like,
exactly.
What decade are we living in? Like, that would ever even happen now at all to anybody.
But, like, it is. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the same. We're living in this decade.
It's insane. Like, what, your hair's too long? What?
What was that, Earl?
Sorry. I said not even that your hair is too long. It's that it's different. Because, like, I mean, let's see. Like, I assume a lot of white people had that, like, rocky hair that comes down to, like, their back.
That's never
an issue. It's that.
Yeah,
like, it's
yeah,
the, it's... It's the moment you braid it where it becomes an issue. And it doesn't make any sense. I'm not even going to say I get natural. Like, I can get the complaint about natural hair in school in the sense that, like, oh, it might block somebody's vision. Put them in the back of the room then. I mean, that's his own issue. But, yeah, I don't think it sucks because, like, you hear stories of a lot of black women who, you know, like, they their hair just kind of breaks down because they have to put all these chemicals in it to kind of keep it, for lack of a better term, white.
Right.
Because, you know, they perm it, they press it. They, you know, you don't wear it, like, as they say, natural or frisky or anything like that. Where, like, even, like, it was a big deal. Like, you know, I watched The Flash. It was a big deal that Candace Patton got to wear her hair naturally for one episode this season.
Yeah.
And she's been on the show for 6 years. So stuff like that, where it's all of these little things that add up to just this really strange experience. But like I said, to kind of go back to a point I was making that I got lost in with work, is I do think that a lot of people are being more honest with the conversation or he's trying to have it. I think when you can kind of see the tides turning sometimes when almost every major corporation in some form or fashion has put out a statement in support of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's surprising because so many have straddled the line in the past and they're really going full bore in one direction.
Yeah. Now that you steered this back to this, Earl, like, I remember what I wanted to say about this, kind of like, I started this off, like, when this first happened last week, I was very cynical. Like, I think I'm finally getting cynical about politics. Like, I've always been a very, like...
overly optimistic?
No, like, idealist. Like, I believe in democracy. I believe in protests. I believe, you know, the people can change things and this and that. It's all about participation and blah, 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 right? And it's like, you know, I've seen for so long, like, things go bad, or, like, there's a mass shooting, and there's a big deal about that. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, back in, like, in 2016, Black Lives Matter got huge because of all the videos that were coming out that summer, you know what I mean? And, like, every time, like, when it gets, like, to this boiling point in the country, like, you think, like, then you start to, like, have hope that things could actually change. And then it just, like, things just die off and go back to normal until the next thing. And it's like, I will give this time credit for this in that, like, it's been very sustained. Like, shit has gone longer than I would have expected. Like, even, like, what, yesterday the other cops got arrested. I thought, okay, now it's going to die off. And it's like, there's still millions of people out in the streets. Like...
Yeah.
I think part of that is the pandemic combining with it, where it's just like, you have time to go do it.
Yeah, you're home. You have this energy. You have this focus. Yeah, and it's your home, so you're paying attention to the story. It's not like, oh, you know, I'm going to work. I forget about it. I'm doing this, that, and the third. It's like you're home. You probably have the news on in the background or it's on social media. Like, there's no because there's no divide in this time. It's just a lot of information coming at you. And this is I will also give Trump some credit in that regard, because if this is any other president, I feel like they would have had it kind of like, you know, not to shandle him. They would have kind of done what Obama did. They would have had the speech. They would have said, you know, this is a time for listening. This is a time for healing. You would have been like, okay, you know, they're listening to us. Like, maybe some of that would be like, okay, now we can kind of ease it up and kind of see what's going to come of it. But because he's like, I'm just going to throw gasoline on this fire and see what happens, it's just igniting it more. And people are just like more angry. So it's more sustained than it would have been if he came out on Monday and says, like, you know, we're listening, we're going to look into police. It's kind of like gun control, where it's always like, we're going to look into this. Nothing happens. The next shooting comes up. Nothing happens. Rinse and repeat. But because, again, he's him, and he can't help himself, it was like, now this is more sustained, and now more people are paying attention to it, because they're like, wait, what is he talking about? Why do we need the National Guard in city streets and stuff like that?
Actively making it worse.
Yes. And, it's as much as I hate it, it's like that accelerationist theory that people had when he became president, that if we wanted to reform, that he would be the person who... because he's so terrible that people would kind of finally wake up. That still isn't the case, but that seems to might be the case with this issue, where his incompetence is so terrible that it's prolonging this and it's making the country angrier because they're getting to, and then, like you said, with the pandemic, everybody's home and they're seeing all of this stuff on social media. They're sharing it. They're talking with their friends. The younger generation, who is very, you know, active, are also engaged in it. And the old people are the ones who, honestly, the ones who are kind of against it because they can't go out, because they don't have, you know, they're not venting to coworkers. They're the ones who aren't as visible. Like, you'll still get Fox News and stuff like that. But I feel like the opposition party, while it's dumb, is not as visible right now to kind of weed up, you know, that's in the message.
I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. No, but for your accelerationist theory, I just hope 4 years was enough of, like, seeing how horrible and terrible it could get. Like, I don't think we could do it again. I really don't want to do it again. I'll tell you that much.
I
want off this fucking ride.
please stop.
Like, it's been the longest 4 years of my life, dude. Like,
I will say this much, and I mean, honestly, I don't think there's much of a debate, but for people who are still like, Biden would be as bad as Trump, I would just like to use this as a prime example as to why he wouldn't be, because Biden, you can at least get Biden to listen and consider something.
He's normal. He's a normal human being. For whatever flaws he has, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm totally, like, I'm not going to get everything I want out of Biden. I wouldn't have got anything I would have wanted out of Bernie, right? Like, it's just reality. I could totally live with fucking Biden in the White House. Totally fine, dude. Fucking sign me up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, fuck, dude. I want to not think about who the president is for a fucking day.
Like, it would be so great if you could wake up one morning and be like, what did he tweet out just today? And just be like, oh, I don't have, like, yes, I feel like, I feel like I hope that people are more engaged with politics even after he leaves office. But I'm also like, I want to be engaged, but I don't want to be engaged where I'm checking this. Like, I have to find out what he's talking about every day. And then, like, each day causing a new panic attack, like, or anxiety.
We worry, yeah.
Like, I want to give me the big stuff. Like, I want to check in, like, twice, like, once a week or so. Oh, okay, the president's announcing a new health initiative.
I'm for this or I'm against this, okay? You know, whatever. Like, fuck, I don't have to worry about, like, yeah, like, how is this guy going to destroy the country the next day because he's a fucking delusional idiot? Like,
yeah, that's all. Like, I mean, it sucks that that's where we are right now, but I will take. Like, again, I also feel like with Biden, if something like this was to pop up during his presidency, it would then become an issue, and not like an issue where he makes it an issue, but an issue where it's like, okay, what can we do about this? What can we discuss?
I'll take that. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying 100%. Fuck, man.
I do hope that something comes out of all of this, though, like some actual change. Some actual progress.
I always hope for change. The one thing I will say, like I mentioned before, like a lot of people coming out with statements, is, and I actually had this, it was part of the conversation at work, because my job's like, we have to put out a statement, we have to say something. And I'm like, yes, but you have to say something. Because a lot of these are just empty platitudes. It rings hollow. It's like, we stand with this. Okay, how do you stand with this in your workplace? Like, what are, like, what, the joke that I have with another friend on Twitter is, like, whenever we, like, you know, you hear about diversity and inclusion, then you go to, like, their, like, go to any video game website right now, and look at their staff page, and tell me how many white faces you see, and tell me how many other faces you see, and most of the time, there aren't any other faces. Like, I have Easy Allies. That is a white bread channel. Kind of Funny was super white until recently. IGN, very white. Game Informer, I think, is mostly white now. GameSpot, Giant Bomb. I think Us Gamer has more a bit more diversity, but a lot of them, you got the staff page, and it's nothing but white faces. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, especially with some of these older publications where a lot of these people have been there 20, 30 years. Not there, but they've been in the industry. But part of, you know, like systematic racism is that you don't get those opportunities. You don't get those chances to go to those event parties to kind of get an in or to get an internship at IGN or GameSpot and work your way up the ladder. So you have to do a code. And at a time when there are positions open, they go to people who have a connection or people like your friend's friend who wants to break or something like that, who has his website. And it's little things like that that adds up over time. You know, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure you all know folks who've gotten jobs because it was their parents' company or like their parents' best friend gave them a, you know, summer job that turned into an internship that turned into a career. And yeah, like we don't necessarily always have those options. Like I don't have that network of people who I can make, oh, I need a job. Let me know if you have one. Even within my own profession, like when my coworkers talk, a lot of them, there's different ways to go about it, but a lot of them all know each other because they either attend these networking events. They were like, you know, college friends with this person. You know, some of them it's different. There's like, you know, parents groups that they're part of and stuff like that. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't have any of that. Like there are that like, you'll have like black networks and stuff like that. But again, like it does still cut you off from a much larger portion of the business world.
Yes, Earl, this podcast is not going to get you anywhere. Just to let you know.
I will be 110% honest with you, and I've had this discussion with friends in the past. I've never wanted to be a video game writer or journalist because of that very reason. Because, I mean, growing up, the only one I really remember was N-Guy, who used to pop up on like one of yours.
Yep.
Even now, I can probably count the ones I know on like a hand or two. Like I've gone out and I've seeked some out and stuff like that, but they are still smaller networks and stuff like that. So it's one of, and again, you know, kind of that thing where it's like you don't see yourself in that position. You never think that you can get there, and you need to, so yeah, I never had any delusions of that. You know, like I would have been able to do that, or movies later on. But stuff like that, it's like, yeah, I just never saw myself in that position, which is why, you know, even with my own site, it's really just kind of been my interest and not necessarily covering any industry as a whole.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
I was just thinking about how, I mean, basically what we were just talking about, though, like, you know, how you hope, we hope some change comes and stuff. It's like, I do think that, you know, change does happen, and it's sometimes hard to see it as it's happening, and it's hard to, like, quantify it as it's happening. You know what I mean? It's like, and not everything is just, not all change is going to be, like, laws going into place. It's just, like, culture shifting, et cetera.
Yeah, and like I said, I think one of the things that, like I said, is just really small, but I've noticed, is that people are listening. People are asking questions. And people are doing their best. I mean, there are still people. It's still social media. But people are doing their best not to make it about them. Because it's one of the things that drives me nuts is whenever somebody says, hey, you know, hey, Grace, I do my part for black people. Like, we're not asking for a handout. We're asking to kind of be equal partners at the table. We're not necessarily asking you to feed us and kill. We just want an opportunity to prove that we can do it just as well. So it's actually the same issue I have. It's my biggest issue with the president. It's like whenever he talks about the African Americans, he only talks about it in terms of like what he quote unquote did for us, like highest unemployment or, you know, it was unemployment, highest employment rate. And it's like one that you didn't do that. But in terms of like, that's like, that doesn't mean anything. You didn't do anything to make our lives better or worse.
Yeah. I do think that there is something like white people could do to help, though, that is, you know, probably more effective than the more obvious things like donating money or marching or whatever. And it's just like calling out your friends and relatives when they say racist shit, dude. Like,
yes, Yeah, that is the biggest
part. It's not an easy thing to do, honestly. And it'll ruin a lot of relationships, but like,
but those people,
I think that is like the granular, like tied at the like push things to change.
Yeah,
so as long as your like white friends can say that shit and think it's like normal and accepted, and they won't lose friends over it, then they think it's cool. They think it's cool to say that shit. Right. Like, I can't tell you how many bar or liquor store situations and shit like that where white people will openly talk racist in front of me, and they just assume that I agree with them.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that could happen. But like, again, like if I'm in a situation, if I'm in a, I'm waiting to buy my beer at the liquor store and people are saying racist shit in front of me, I'm not going to say something to them. Like, I'm not going to start a fight. I just mind my own business and don't say anything. If they ask me my opinion, then yeah, that's when I will unload. But,
and I get it. Nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to get into a fight. Yeah. But yes, I do
but
think
with your friends and family, you can't exactly. do that.
Yes.
It's tough, but.
Yes, and the other thing I would say, and the opinion I give most people is also help work to amplify Black voices. You know, like find writers, find artists, find podcasts, find you know things that you can amplify Black voices. I think this is something in general you should do with diverse voices, like hear from other people so that you can get that perspective. It's one of those things that. It's kind of funny because it's. I think it's one of the few things white people don't have to do because, like, you white like as a minority, it's very hard not to hear white voices. So you seek out your own voice, you seek out neighboring voices. You know, like my best friends in high school and high school and junior high school, my best friends are Hispanic. They're different mixes of Black. You know, some Asian friends as well. So you get that mixture of voices. Where like, I feel like a lot of white people are able to grow up in this bubble where you can put it interact with all the white people, and they don't necessarily they're never forced to hear those different voices. Like I had a discussion with a friend last Friday, where you know I was like, oh yeah, you know I saw Bad Boys for like 2 times in theaters. He's like, why did you see Bad Boys twice? I'm like, it's a Black movie. I'm a Black dude, and he's like, I don't do that for white movies. I'm like, yeah, you'd go broke. and the fact that I can do that, just how few and far between those movies are. Like I, you know, I mentioned like I saw Proud Mary, I think twice. I've seen you know a lot of different movies in theaters just because it has a predominantly Black cast. And it's like, yeah, sometimes you just do that to support them. And like, the fact that he like it was surprising to him just kind of shows like yes, because you never have to think about it. Like I could. Turn on Netflix right now, and I will tell you of the first like 50 movies I find, I'm almost certain like 48 of them will have predominantly white casts.
We had some technical difficulties with the recording this week, where our recording app kind of just cut out at this point in the show. And when we picked back up, you know, there's no good way to blend in where we kind of kicked off and where we're picking back up at. So. I'm just going to give you exactly where we pick back up and how we maneuver back into the episode. Thanks for listening, everyone.
I think I said my part for an hour.
Okay. Well, do we want to talk about games?
I mean, we don't have to. The only thing I would talk about is... No, I wouldn't even talk about that because that's such a touchy subject. I wanted to talk about those people who were like mad that Sony can't delay the event for today.
Oh, yes.
But like, you know, it's not giving those idiots a phone.
Yeah, or I don't know. I don't know if you guys. I don't want to amplify his voice, but there's a guy. I guess he runs a website who has been creating a list of. Companies that are supporting. And he's like, oh, you're like fine, like you support the neuro. And like, so every time, like somebody he says something, somebody is able to find a a press release.
Yeah.
Great.
My favorite thing is like, because I was like, I was just so curious and I hated to give him a hit. But this is like 500 companies right now. Mm-hmm. And the best part about it is that it's all major platform holders. So it's not even like.
It's nothing.
Yes. So it's like, what are you going to pay games on?
He's going to do what all these hypocritical boycotters do, and he'll continue to play them. He just won't say anything about them. Tony, you said you played one game. Did you want to talk about that, or you want to hold it?
Not really. We can hold it for next time.
All right. Well, I don't want to say this was our, you know, our very special episode.
It was a very special episode, though. But I feel like it's one of, like Jeff said, it's one of those points in history. Because, like, I mean, I assume if we go over the last 3 months, most of our podcasts have like, been about the pandemic, the reaction to the pandemic, or now it is. It's very
Go ahead, Earl.
No, I was just going to say, it's very, very difficult to not talk about these issues. And I think... It would be a disservice for people not to discuss them in any avenue. Like, I know everybody wants an escape, but, you know, for some people, myself included, there is no escape. It's not like I turn off BM Black after it ends recording, and it's not like when this finishes recording, we can all go back to our normal lives and go outside. So,
right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I hope if you've been listening now for 499 episodes, you know. Where we stand on things, you know, we have not shied away from, you know, not talking about games in the past. So the fact that we're not going to talk about them today is fine.
I was going to say you can invite Don on, but we'll cut that part out.
Oh no!
Yeah,
and he keeps like, oh, sorry. Oh.
It's
cut that part out.
Yeah. Well, Jeff has left. Not that. I mean, he was definitely worked up, but not over this. We had some technical difficulties, and he probably went to go smoke a cigarette and get another beer. But we'll be back hopefully next week with episode 500, special episode.
The USA still around. Fingers crossed.
If things are still going, we may talk about games next week. Who the hell knows? If we do, I think Jeff had a topic for us to discuss. Yes. How has gaming changed for us over the last 10 years? So we may be approaching that one. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Not sorry if this brought you down, or you know, if it did, that's a shame. Like, I think that you need to talk about these things. So, Earl, since Jeff is not here, you say goodnight.
Good night.